You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Friscup. This message was recorded on March 17, 2021, and is titled County by County, Part 2. Grab your Bibles and let's join Steve in the message.
Hi, John. You're just a big old kid yourself. Hey, we're going to baptize some tonight. We got Bryson for sure, and there may be another one or two. So just real quick in my little monologue as we get ready, we're going to let Micah sing a little bit. We're glad to have him tonight. Got some pretty important things we're going to talk about this evening for a minute. But the baptism thing, this is huge. Now listen, and listen real good, because a lot of you need to go home and share this. This isn't a preacher thing. And this isn't supposed to be institutionalized. This is a biblical thing. This is a representation of what Jesus did for every one of us. This is a representation of what you're going to do for him. And so as we've grown up and we've thrown water on babies' heads and we've coerced people into getting in and out of the water, when the Holy Spirit begins to lead you, and you feel that call and that nudge, just like in the Bible, when you read about the Ethiopian out there trying to read the Bible and God sends Philip out there to him to explain it to him. As soon as that word of God began to, he said, there's water, why shan't I be baptized? Because he knew Jesus said it in his own baptism where John tried to get out of the deal. He said, this is what's right for the fulfillment of all things. This is what's right. Jesus got baptized when he was 30 years old because he was at a point where it was time to decide. So when we fire up that tank, it's not because we're doing a head count. I mean, my first Bible 18 years ago in Muleshoe, I started writing down everybody's name that I baptized, and I got up to about 67 or 8, and I run out of paper, and about 400 later, I've quit writing them down. I mean, really, it's wrote down somewhere, but I don't have to see it. But what I'm telling you tonight, this is what's important. It's not about getting you into heaven. It's about stepping you into the kingdom of God for the service of God. It's about the experience of water baptism because of the experience of your sanctification, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that overwhelms you, just like that water in that tank will overwhelm you, set apart for the purposes of God as living stones. So tonight, as I told you I was going to do, I was going to explain to you tonight the details of county by county. Because we're leading up to Passover and we're fixing to do this. This deal is really getting good and it's really getting busy. We're on to something and it all came right out of ground zero right here in Muleshoe, America. Isn't that crazy? Right out of Muleshoe, America. And so the main component in this is not just about fixing the government because you're ticked off. This is about being on the forefront of the next awakening in our land. And that includes coming to a true experience in Jesus Christ to where you become born again, then come to the full knowledge of God, then come to the enlightenment, and then obeying him in baptism because you want to serve him from now on and you know obedience is the key. Tearing down the walls of institutionalism to where no longer we're obedient into the institution, but we're obedient to the Holy Spirit. If you're obedient to the Holy Spirit, he will never deviate from the word because the word is complete. So you don't have to worry about in your flesh if I'm doing biblical stuff, if you know what it means to walk in step with the Holy Spirit. I mean, Paul told the Galatians, he said, you're doing better than the Jews and you don't even know what to do. Not because of how you've been reading and studying, but because of what's in you. When you're born again, the whole Bible is now in you. The kingdom of God is now in you. Yeah. I listened to James Robinson today for 30 minutes talking about the kingdom of God being in you. I don't know how many preachers was on a conference call, and I was just sitting there wondering. I said, I wonder how many of these guys are sitting here thinking this is new news, or they're scratching their head and having to go figure this out. We've been telling this story for 25 years. It's the truth. And so you guys are all in, you guys on the thingamajig here. We're all in on the front lines of this new awakening. But as I've told you time and time again, there is no power in the institution. None. The power is in the individual. And when 1 Peter chapter 2 says, you, like living stones, just like Jesus, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a people belonging to God. So tonight we're going to talk about some stuff, but you don't want to miss anything in here when it comes to kingdom business. While we're handling the affairs in the earth. See, I dropped this at a little private meeting yesterday. You know that God created heaven and earth. Everything in it and all its fullness is his, according to the 24th Psalm. But that's the G, creative part. The arrangement on that earth is the world. It's known as the cosmos. Now, if God will speak to his creation, and he'll move the weather, and he can move. He can stop time. He did it in the Bible. He can move time forward. He did it in the Bible. He can make it quit raining for 3.5 years and then turn the spigot on just like that. But the cosmos, who's in charge of that? The only way God can be in charge of the cosmos is when he's in charge of the people who are supposed to be in charge of the arrangement. If you don't like the arrangement, then you should ask God what you're supposed to do to fix it. We've spent decades, centuries, asking God to fix the cosmos. He said, I'm not even of that part. The world, you're in it. I'm not. I'm in you. And it's high time we get this straight. He's not the grand puppeteer up there just running a puppet show down here like it's some kind of video game. No, he's speaking to his people. He's directing our steps. He's anointing our lips. He's raising the dead. Miracles, signs, and wonders follow those who believe. They accompany those who believe. This is kingdom business. So when we talk about county by county, here's the trick before he sings. You know what I love about this? Because people are mad in America right now. People with real IQs are mad. Yeah. I've been running horse sales for 40 years. I know what it feels like to be cheated, and I can smell what a liar is stepping in. And we got cheated and we got lied to. So I get it. So a lot of people are mad. You know what happens if you'll tell mad people that you got a plan for saving their nation? They will gather up. Believers, non-believers, Methodists, cowboy Methodists. I mean, they'll come. They'll all show up. And the minute you tell them, look, you can't do this without God, you're going to fail miserably. Can't be done. There's only one way to get this pulled off. And all of a sudden, you'll see guys who may have never been in church leaning up and licking their lips. And you'll get a phone call while you're driving down the road. Hey, I was listening to all that stuff you were saying the other night, and it went over me like shot right over my head. I need a little help. Next thing you know, you tell them, say, hey, how'd you like to know what I know? I ain't no way I can know what you know. Oh, yeah. You know what I know as soon as you know who I know. As soon as you know who I know, you know what I know. If there's anybody here tonight that wants to know what I know, I'll be glad to help you find out who I know. His name is Jesus Christ, and he's as real as I'm standing here. He's never left. He's never went anywhere. The presence of God is right here because he's in me. He's in many of you. We're the church. We're not the institution. We're the body of Christ. We're not an organization. We're led by the Spirit of God. We don't need any other person to speak on our behalf to God because he said there is no mediator between God and man now other than Christ himself. He has become our high priest according to the Bible. And as soon as we come to those absolute truths, we'll see God move heaven and earth while we change the arrangement. A lot of people here would like to change the arrangement. Some of you would just like to go home and change the arrangement at your kitchen table. Same process, same principle. So let's pray. Lord, I just want to thank you tonight for your word. Thank you tonight for your presence. Lord, I'm telling you, Jesus, you got me fired up. And about the time I think I'm too tired to go, Lord, you'll just seem to breathe something in here and we'll just go again. I want to thank you for Bryson. I want to thank you for anyone else who is feeling the nudge to obey you, Jesus, to step into that realm of discipleship and being set apart for your purposes for the rest of their life. Tonight, Lord, I'm thankful that you give us a strategy for saving our land for the generations to come, that you find us, Lord, about your business as we await your return. Lord, tell us how to do this, and we'll do the best we can to get it right. When we don't, I know you'll nudge us to the left or the right and keep us going in the right direction. Bless this little fellowship tonight, Lord. Through your anointing, let the word be told. Lord, bless every family inside the building. There's one outside on the camera. That, Lord, our kitchen tables will be them Joshua 24 kitchen tables. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So tonight we bless you. Pour it out on Micah tonight as he sings a little bit for a minute. Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the liberty, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. It's going to be one of them nights, so you just got to get ready. If you don't know what one of them nights is like, and cinch up for a minute. I'm not going to the kitchen table. All my stuff is sitting on the kitchen table. Tonight we're going to stand in front of the kitchen table. We're going to fight for that kitchen table. And so we got some things we got to talk about. When God gives you a strategy, it's not so you can tiptoe through the tulips. He's not going to give you a strategy so that you can go down the wide road and have the fairy tale life and all the things that we've preached now through charismatic movements and everything else that has been very successful in disabling us and getting us to the ditch. He'll give you a strategy that'll keep you out of the ditch, keep you on the narrow road, preserve the things that are important, the things that are necessary. One of the things we're praying for here in just a minute, I heard a lot from the Lord while I was sitting over there. One of the things we'll do after a bit here is we're going to pray and commit to the next generation. A promise. A promise that's been given us for a long time. Now, I'm not talking about sending them to church camp so someday they'll monkey see, monkey do, and maybe somebody got saved, maybe they did. I don't know how all that worked, but I know this much. You can't pray a prayer and blow some snot when you're 14 years old and then live like a son of Hades after that and tell me that you're going to heaven and you bought your spot in heaven when you never served God one syllable, one step, one time on this earth. If you're saved, it's because Jesus is your Lord. He's not your Savior till he's your Lord. If he's your Lord, he's your government. If he's your government, then he rules in your life. If he rules in your life and you live in a way that pleases him, and you can do that while you're a horse sale auctioneer or a cattle buyer or a house builder or a farmer or whatever, you don't have to stand up here as a preacher, because most of us have got confused between men of the cloth who are called to preach and men of the cloth who decide to be hired. And so some of this institutionalization, some of the indoctrination. I had a lady on the phone this morning. We were talking about her giving. And we were talking, and it's been pretty amazing how the Lord's been telling her where to give and how much to give and what to do. And she said, "What do you think?" And I said, "I think it's awesome. Your giving has been led by the Spirit of God and not coerced by the institution of religion." 90% of you sitting in this room write a check every week because you were raised up and told that's what you're supposed to do, and you ought to hear it from God. He'll tell you where to do it, and he'll tell you how to do it. He'll tell you when to do it. That's why we've never worried about it here. You never hear a peep about it. Because if I can introduce you to Jesus, the Holy Spirit will live in you. If the Holy Spirit lives in you, you'll do what you're supposed to do. That's not my job, to teach your flesh how to act like a Christian. See, I'm telling you, we're going to reestablish an institution in this earth that's called the kingdom of God. And when Jesus told his disciples that temple would be destroyed, but I'll raise it up in 3 days. It happened 70 AD, just as Josephus wrote. Not one stone left on another. And he raised up a house of living stones. In America, we replaced it with a house of institutionalized indoctrination. I'm not talking about having spirit-filled church services. I'm talking about having a spirit-led life so that you can reclaim your promise. If the Spirit of God is leading you, that means you have a covenant with God. If you have a covenant with God, then everything God said you could have is yours. Micah just sang about it. I'm going to take back what's been taken from me. I'm going to reclaim my promise. He also sang right out of 1 John chapter 1 that greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. How many of y'all heard a little coffee with the Colonel this morning about the wind blowing? Wind was blowing, wasn't it? Y'all hear the wind blowing this morning? How many of y'all ready to see the Holy Spirit move across our land the same way as a West Texas wind, where everything moves and changes? But I'm not talking about my neighbor's sand dunes coming to my house. I'm talking about the arrangement of the land moving, the cosmos moving and changing, because God is changing people. You don't change America by changing the government. You change America by changing Americans. We're not one nation under God. Barack Obama was right. The only time we'll be a nation under God is when the majority of the people in this country are sold out to the lordship of Jesus Christ. In a nation that's of the people, by the people, and for the people, when 30% or 40% or 49% are sold out, that's not the majority. Right now, we're 50-50, and that's just talking about churchgoers. So I'm going to say we're not doing so hot. That's why the revival is necessary. And so here's how it's going to go. And we've got it all laid out here now, and God's made things really clear. This has been a long process. I've probably kept y'all more in the dark about it than I have some other places where we've been visiting and going around the country. But I'm going to give you the short version tonight because we've got a lot to do and there'll be more to come in 2 weeks. But back when all this COVID business, see, I want to remind you of something. I told the whole world a year ago, right before Passover, God's people, you don't have to do COVID. COVID came from hell. Can't say that in front of the kids. You better, because it's real and it's a place. It's just like saying Sudan or Earth or anybody. It's real and it's a place. And that's where COVID came from. You know how I know? Because it came to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the devil's business. That's why the Luciferian theology is operating so strong in our land. The other thing is, it comes from the father of all lies. Who'd he use? He used Dr. Fauci. Oh, yeah, out loud. Dr. Fauci with an F. Do you know how you tell him when he's lying? His lips are moving. So I'm going to change his story every 14 seconds, just depending on which pocket they're going to fill next. All came from the pit of hell. Do you know what the best news for the church is, for the true church? I'm not talking about the institution. I'm talking about the church. You know what the best news of the day is? When things come from the pit of hell. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I've been given all authority on heaven and earth. I can call out demons, devils, raise the dead, heal the sick, make the blind see, the lame walk. Everything's in that book. And so all authority on heaven and earth. And Satan himself is a defeated foe by my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so when you tell me, so I stood out there a year ago. Remember, Murph, I had my stick. Should have brought my stick tonight. Robin, she'd have really been scared. She's not in town, and I'm walking around with my stick. The stick is kind of off limits until she gives me permission, because I go kind of crazy with my stick. But I stood outside. I did a coffee with the colonel that morning that 50-some thousand people listened to. And I said, Passover's coming. And if you'll lay down your life at Passover and you'll plead the blood over your home and you'll surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll speak in the power of God himself from the throne room of grace and you'll wave your staff over your family and over your home and over your neighborhood and over your church. Do you know which pastor in this town has not done a funeral in the last 12 months? This one. The funeral home even noticed that we hadn't seen you in 12 months because I ain't had no dead ones. Now, did COVID come visit us? Dang right. You think because you're a Christian, the devil ain't going to sneak around and try to tear up your stuff? Dang right. Stomp on his cotton picking little snotty head and move on. Yeah. Me and Robin both did it. So what? Some of y'all did it. You're here. Because God's people have authority over this. We did not have to do this. We did not have to do the way we've done for the last 12 months. But we wouldn't observe Passover. No, we did virtual Easter bunnies last year. Virtual egg hunts last year. I'm done tiptoeing. I'm done. You don't like my verbiage, get you another spot. Because I'm done. I'm done with the carnal religion. I'm done with the idols. I'm done. Passover. Passover was a time in God's calendar when we had an opportunity. Well, guess what? Passover's coming again. And God, in his grace... You see, grace doesn't change the rules. Grace doesn't make room for you and your attitudes or you and your religion or you and your sin or me and my sin. Grace doesn't make room for that. Grace gives us a chance to get over it. And Passover's coming again. And God's given us a strategy. So back months ago when I've been going over and helping New Mexico get a plan and get their nerve up, we've been going over there yapping at them. I think it's working. We got some stuff going on now. I got a phone call from a pretty high up one this week, just out of the blue, and coffee with the colonel. And we're going to Cloudcroft Sunday afternoon, 3:30 Sunday afternoon. We're going to be up there at Cloudcroft, whatever. Burn the mountains. We're going over there. But this all started when a guy called me one day and he said, would you come talk to our group? And I said, yeah, what do you want me to talk about? And he said, we want to open up. It's several months ago. I said, good. You got a plan? Nope. We're mad. We show up mad. We gripe at each other and we go home mad. I said, well, that's kind of a dumb plan. That ain't going to work. So I said, let me inquire of the Lord. How many people do you know, and not because this ain't about me, I want you to finally get here. How many people you know will stop what they're doing and sit down in a chair and inquire of the Lord and know for a fact that immediately you're going to get an answer? Took 25 years to get here. By looking around the room, some of y'all better hurry up. But seriously, when you walk in that thing, it's not about me. But I sat down and I said, Lord, what are we supposed to do? And I heard him speak, and all he said was county by county. I said, man, I don't know what that means, but I'm going to dive into it and figure it out. So prayerfully been listening and doing.
Well, that concludes our message, County by County, Part 2. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web, www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And you can tune in every Sunday morning, 8 a.m. Mountain Time, to hear Steve on AM 1450 Cow Country. For Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.